Our talk this morning is entitled Jesus the Messiah. And in connection therewith, please turn with me to first chapter of John, where we will read verses 38 to 41. John 1, 38 to 41. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the tenth hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is, being interpreted, the Christ. The fact that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, spoken of in the Old Testament in so many places, is a central tenet of our faith. And it's certain that there's no one here this morning who believes otherwise, but it's nonetheless a faith-enriching experience to review some of the many Old Testament prophecies which, taken as a whole, leave no reasonable mind with any doubt as to its truth. The prophecies we will consider this morning will be in chronological order. By this we mean in the birth, the ministry, the death, and the resurrection of our Lord. The format will be to first read the Old Testament prophecy and then the corresponding New Testament passage showing its fulfillment. We will, of course, preface each one with a particular subject. And I would just say briefly that I compiled this list on my own, and I only mention this because it's probably, I'm certain, it's an incomplete list. And furthermore, some of them you might think of other New Testament passages, you know, which prove these Old Testament prophecies as well. But hopefully the ones I've chosen are appropriate. So get ready for some serious Bible turning this morning. Well, the logical place to start is Genesis 3:15. The first fact about Jesus was that he was the seed of the woman. Genesis 3:15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And he shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel is clearer. And the fulfillment of that, amongst other places, Galatians 4:4. Galatians 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Second, he was God manifest in the flesh. Isaiah 9, verse 6. Isaiah 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Its fulfillment, John chapter 1, verses 1 and 14. John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Rather than continuing to say the number of each one, I'm just going to move on ahead. He was a descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Referencing Abraham, Genesis 12, verse 3. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Referencing Isaac, Genesis 17, verse 19. And God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his seed after him. Referencing Jacob, Numbers 24, verse 17. Numbers 24, verse 17. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheth. The fulfillment of all three, Luke 3, verse 34. Luke 3, verse 34. Which was the son of Jacob, which was the son of Isaac, which was the son of Abraham, which was the son of Terah, which was the son of Nahor. He was from the tribe of Judah, Genesis 49, verse 10. Genesis 49, verse 10. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Its fulfillment, Luke 3, verse 33. Luke 3, verse 33. Which was the son of Aminadab, which was the son of Aram, which was the son of Ezram, which was the son of Pharez, which was the son of Judah. He was heir to the throne of David. Isaiah 9, verse 7. Isaiah 9, verse 7. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. Its fulfillment, Luke chapter 1, verses 32 to 33. Luke 1, 32 to 33. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. He was born in Bethlehem. Micah 5, verse 2. Micah 5, verse 2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. Its fulfillment, Luke 2, verses 4, 5, and 7. Luke 2, verses 4, 5, and 7. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. He was to be born of a virgin. Isaiah 7, verse 14. Isaiah 7, verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Its fulfillment, Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 27. And in the sixth month, when the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. 30 and 31 of the same verse, chapter. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. The slaughter of male children at the time of his birth. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 15. Jeremiah 31, verse 15. Thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel weeping for her children refused to be comforted for her children because they were not. Its fulfillment, Matthew chapter 2, verses 16 to 18. Matthew 2, verses 16 to 18. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet. Should be sufficient there. His flight to Egypt. Hosea chapter 11, verse 1. Hosea 11, verse 1. When Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. Its fulfillment, Matthew chapter 2, verses 14 to 15. Matthew 2, verses 14 to 15. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. His way was prepared by John the Baptist. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 3 to 5. Isaiah 40, 3 to 5. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Its fulfillment, Luke chapter 3, verses 3 to 6. Luke 3, verses 3 to 6. And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. He was declared to be the Son of God. Psalm chapter 2, verse 7. Psalm 2, verse 7. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my Son. This day have I begotten thee. Its fulfillment, Matthew 3, verse 17. Matthew 3, 17. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Also on that one, Acts 13, verse 33. A couple of them have more than one. Acts 13, 33. For God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again. It is also written in the second psalm, thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. Concerning his Galilean ministry, Isaiah 9, verses 1 and 2. Isaiah 9, verses 1 and 2. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan in Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Its fulfillment, Matthew 4, verses 13 to 16. Matthew 4, 13 to 16. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up." He spoke in parables, Psalm 78, verses 2 to 4. Psalm 78, 2 to 4. "I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done." Its fulfillment, Matthew 13, verses 34 and 35. Matthew 13, verses 34 and 35. "All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. He was a prophet like unto his heavenly Father." Deuteronomy 18:15. "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken." Its fulfillment, Acts 3, verses 20 and 22. Acts 3, verses 20 and 22. "And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you." He was to bind up the brokenhearted. Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 and 2. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn." Its fulfillment, Luke 4, verses 18 and 19. Luke 4, 18 and 19. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." He was rejected by his own people, the Jews. Isaiah 53, verse 3. "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not." Its fulfillment, John 1, verse 11. "He came unto his own, and his own received him not." Also, Luke 23, verse 18. Luke 23, 18, "And they all cried out, and they cried out all at once, saying, Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas." His entry into Jerusalem, Zechariah 9, verse 9. Zechariah 9, verse 9. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass." Its fulfillment, Mark 11. Mark 11, verses 7, 9, and 11. "And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And they that went before and they that followed, crying, followed, cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple, and when he had looked round about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. He was adored by the young. Psalm 8, verse 2. Psalm 8, verse 2. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. Its fulfillment, Matthew 21, verses 15 and 16. Matthew 21, verses 15 and 16. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased, and said unto him, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, Yea, have ye never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise? He was not believed by his countrymen. Isaiah 53, verse 1. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Its fulfillment, John 12, verses 37 and 38. John 12, 37 and 38. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? He was betrayed by a close friend. Psalm 41, verse 9. Psalm 41, verse 9. Yea, mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. Its fulfillment, Luke 22, verses 47 and 48. Luke 22, 47 and 48. And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? He was betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. Zechariah 11, verse 12. Zechariah 11, verse 12. And I said unto them, if ye think good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver. Its fulfillment, Matthew 26, verses 14 and 15. Matthew 26, 14 and 15. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, What will ye give me, and I will deliver him unto you? And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. He was accused by false witnesses. Psalm 35, verse 11. Psalm 35, verse 11. False witnesses did rise up. They laid to my charge things that I knew not. Its fulfillment, Mark 14, verses 57 and 58. Mark 14, 57 and 58. And there arose certain and bare false witness against him, saying, We heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands. He was silent to the accusations. Isaiah 53, verse 7. Isaiah 53, 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Its fulfillment, Mark 15, verses 4 and 5. Mark 15, verses 4 and 5. And Pilate asked him again, saying, Answerest thou nothing? Behold, how many things they witness against thee. But Jesus yet answered nothing. so that Pilate marveled. He was spat on and struck. Isaiah 50, verse 6. Isaiah 50, verse 6. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. Its fulfillment, Matthew 26, verse 67. Matthew 26, verse 67. Then did they spit in his face and buffeted him, and others smote him with the palms of their hands. He was hated without reason or cause. Psalm 35, verse 19. Hated without reason or cause. Let not them that are mine enemies wrongfully rejoice over me, neither let them wink with the eye that hate me without a cause. Its fulfillment, John 15, verses 24 and 25. John 15, 24 and 25. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. He was crucified with malefactors. Isaiah 53, verse 12. Isaiah 53, 12, therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Its fulfillment, Mark 15, 27 and 28. Mark 15, 27 and 28. And with him they crucify two thieves, the one on his right hand and the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, and he was numbered with the transgressors. He was pierced through the hands and the side. Zechariah 12, verse 10. Zechariah 12, verse 10. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Its fulfillment, John 20, verse 27. John 20, 27. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. He was sneered and mocked on the stake. Psalm 22, verses 7 and 8. Sneered and mocked on the stake. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. Its fulfillment, Luke 23, verse 35. Luke 23, verse 35. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, he saved others. Let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. He was reproached. Psalm 69, verse 9. He was reproached. For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. Its fulfillment, Romans 15, verse 3. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. He prayed for his enemies on the stake. Psalm 109, verses 3 and 4. Psalm 109, verses 3 and 4. They compassed me about also with words of hatred, and fought against me without a cause. For my love, they are my adversaries, but I give myself unto prayer. Its fulfillment, Luke 23, verse 34. Luke 23, verse 34. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. Soldiers gambled for his garments. Psalm 22, verses 17 and 18. I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. Its fulfillment, Matthew 27, verses 35 and 36. Matthew 27, 35 and 36. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there. None of his bones were broken. Psalms 34, verse 20. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Its fulfillment. John chapter 19, verses 32 to 33, and also verse 36. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken. He was forsaken by God. This one I'm going to elaborate on just a bit after reading it. Psalm 22, verse 1. Psalm 22, verse 1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Its fulfillment, Matthew 27, verse 46. Matthew 27, 46. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? On this one, I want to elaborate a little bit because it's a difficult saying on the face of it. Just a short quote from Brother Roberts that I like from Nazareth Revisited, page 318, has this to say. Some have a difficulty in understanding such words from the mouth of Christ. There need be none. The exhaustion of nature accounts for the momentary suspension of understanding. Consider the sleepless and terrible night he had come through. The buffetings, the scourging, the 6 hours of fierce agony of the cross under the scorching rays of a Syrian sun. Can we wonder at strength gone? Understanding clouded, heart broken. The moment of release from suffering was at hand. Very powerful words from the pen of our pioneer brother. He was buried with the rich. Buried with the rich, Isaiah 53, verse 9. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence. Neither was any deceit in his mouth. Its fulfillment, Matthew 27, verses 57 to 60. When the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. He was resurrected. Psalm 16, verse 10. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. And also, Psalm 49, verse 15. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. Selah. Its fulfillment, Mark 16, verses 6 and 7. Mark 16, verses 6 and 7. And he saith unto them, Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way. Tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you. He ascended to God's right hand. He ascended to God's right hand. Psalm 68. Verse 18. Thou hast ascended on high, thou hast led captivity captive, thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. And its fulfillment, Mark 16:19. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Also, one more on that one, Ephesians 4, verse 8. Ephesians 4, 8. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. And he is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Psalm 110, verse 4. Psalm 110, verse 4. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Its fulfillment? Hebrews 5, verses 5 and 6. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. And we'll pick up with that thought in our memorial remarks. Thank you. The Orlando Ecclesia's basis of fellowship is exclusively the unamended statement of faith, and we welcome those who believe and adhere to those doctrines and commandments stated therein. We'll enter into the memorial portion of our service this morning by singing hymn number 110. Hymn 110, the true Messiah now appears. The types are all withdrawn. So fly the shadows and the stars before the rising dawn.
So fly the shadows.
If you would, please turn with me to Hebrews chapter 7. We'll read a few select verses, not the entire chapter, but some that in particular that focus on Melchizedek. In Hebrews 7, we'll read verses 1 through 3. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Let's move down to verse 11 and read through 17. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek, and not be called after the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning the priesthood. And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest, who was made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. For he testifieth, thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. Then let's go to 24 and read to the end of the chapter. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people, for this he did once when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore. Melchizedek is introduced to us in Genesis chapter 14, but it is certain that our understanding of this enigmatic man would be cloudy, at best, without the Apostle Paul expounding of him as he does here in Hebrews chapter 7. Paul says, without father, without mother, without natural descent. Yet this cannot be taken literally as natural facts concerning him, but rather to draw attention to the fact that he was a type of Christ, whose priesthood was not dependent on any genealogy, but he held his office in virtue of his own right, divinely bestowed. Paul also explains to us why no information about Melchizedek's birth or death is recorded in Genesis. Again, this is to emphasize him as a type of Christ whose priesthood is eternal. Melchizedek combined the offices of king and high priest, holding both titles simultaneously, as will Christ when he returns. Though subordinate to him, his faithful followers will likewise be both kings and priests, as Revelation 5, verse 10 tells us. The law was a carnal commandment, and the Levitical priesthood was imperfect. Therefore, Christ's perfect priesthood was not after the order of Aaron, but in the similitude or likeness of Melchizedek, the perfect type of him. Because Christ continueth forever, and therefore he has an unchangeable priesthood, as verse 24 tells us, it follows in verse 25 that he is able also to save them to the uttermost, or evermore, as the margin has it, that come unto God by him. The last part of verse 25, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them, and the them here includes us, this is a truth that we can grasp hold of. as an anchor at all times, but especially when we experience distress or grief or pain or sorrow. Christ is ever and always ready to make intercession for us, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Now, let's turn to Hebrews 4. We'll read verses 14 to 16. Hebrews 4, verses 14 to 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We hold fast our profession when we meet each first day of the week before this table, to remember, to call to mind that Christ is our great high priest, who in the days of his earthly ministry was tempted like as we are, yet without sin. I like the NASB translation of touched with the feeling of our infirmities, which reads, sympathize with our weaknesses. He can sympathize with our weaknesses. Yet without sin. Those three words are probably most important point of all. For had he sinned or disobeyed his heavenly Father even once, then all would have been in vain. Yahweh could not have raised him to life evermore, and we would of all men be most miserable. And let's remember, though it was in the Father's plan that things unfold as they did, we must always remember that Christ could have sinned. Christ could have sinned. He most certainly had the ability to do so, as we just read, because he was a representative of his race, a race of sinners. So Paul concludes the chapter with the comforting words of verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly or confidently onto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So we will now do that. We will now do that in the partaking of these emblems, where we call to mind his provision, his perfect obedience, and most importantly of all, his sacrifice, which was on his own behalf and also on ours. Brother Sid, would you give thanks for the bread, please?
Our merciful and loving Heavenly Father, once again we come into thy presence, thankful for the countless blessings that we enjoy from thee each day. We thank thee especially at this time for the gift of thy Son. We realize the great love that thou hast had for thy creation and the provision of thy Son, and the opportunity that awaits any that will avail themselves of that privilege. We thank thee that you have called us out of the darkness of this world into the marvelous light of thy covenant. We pray that we would ever be mindful of the great sacrifice that our Lord made, his perfect obedience to thee, his love for thee and for us, in fulfilling thy will in every respect, even to the point of death upon the cross. We pray that we may strive to be as self-sacrificing as characteristic of him, that we will be ever mindful of each other's needs and look for the opportunity to display the love that he has so beautifully shown. We thank thee for this bread, which we recognize as a symbol of his body, a body dedicated to the fulfillment of thy will and the manifestation of thy love, a symbol of his willingness to sacrifice the flesh and to apply himself daily to the diligent service of thee in the fulfillment of thy plan. Please keep us again never mindful of our responsibilities to thee. Strengthen us in times of trial. Let us reflect upon our example, our Lord Jesus Christ, in times of trial and challenge. And let us work each day to become more profitable servants unto thee. And now, as we partake of this bread, we pray that you would be with each of us, that we may discern its true significance and meaning in thy sight, and that indeed thy Son's return is very close at hand, and that we may all have that privilege and honor of serving thee eternally in that glorious age. For we ask it all and give thanks through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Brother Dave Pirtle, would you give thanks for the wine, please?
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy great and glorious name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Dear Yahweh, at this time we come humbly before thy throne of grace, thanking you for the blessings of being able to eat this day around this table, taking of these symbols of your Son's body. And at this time we ask your blessing upon the cup of wine symbolizing his blood and the reconciliation that came about as a result of his death. We have been reminded this day of him being rejected and being denied and being given up by all the Jews and all Gentiles, and at last by the high priest to be crucified. And in doing so, he became the perfect sacrifice to overcome the Adamic sin that each of us are under. We are indeed grateful as we partake of this cup and mindful of the fact that it is through your mercy and your love that you provided a way to overcome that everlasting death. We pray that as we partake of the cup, we are reminded of the nearness of his return and the establishment of thy kingdom upon this earth. We pray for your continued mercy, forgiveness, guidance, and direction in all we say and do, and pray for his soon return, and that we may be partakers in thy kingdom through thy mercy. Through his name, our high priest, our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask your blessing at this time. Amen.
Our closing hymn will be hymn number 243, after which we'll have Brother Dominic Primorano offer a closing word of prayer, and then please be seated briefly for a brief announcement. Hymn 243. We come, O God, to bow before thy throne, to pay our solemn vow through thy dear Son.
Our great and glorious Heavenly Father, Yahweh, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, as well as our God, all honor and glory be unto you, and blessing be your high and your most glorious name. Father, we, a few of thy believing children, humbly bow before you once again, thanking you for the many bountiful blessings that you have blessed us with here this day, for the opportunity to freely gather here with those of like precious faith, for the opportunity to read and discuss your word, which is able to make us wise unto salvation, for the opportunity to hear words of exhortation, and for the opportunity to sing praises into your great and glorious name. Father, we pray and ask that All the things that we have said and done here this morning will be found favorable in thy sight, and will be unto us a source of guidance, help, and strength in these last days. For Father, we know that we are truly living in the last days, for all around us the world grows darker and darker. And it is due to that darkness, Father, that we hope and pray for that soon return of our Lord and Master Jesus the Christ. For at the day when he returns to set up your great and glorious kingdom, which shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms and stand forever, it is our most earnest hope and desire to find a small part therein. Until that day, we ask you to be with those who may be needy in any way, shape, or form. Father, we ask you to suit a blessing into their needs only as thou seest fit. All these things we pray and ask, and into our Lord and Master's name, Jesus the Christ. Amen.